Well, this is a, when we run into people, we still say Happy New Year to each other because it's still kind of, the year is still new. And then for Chinese, we have the benefit that Chinese New Year is coming up soon. So I heard that people are really planning for the Chinese New Year celebration. From December on, so many good things happening. And I think one thing we like it particularly so much is it's a chance that we can gather together. It's like family reunion. And I don't know how many of you enjoy the family reunion. It should be a time of fun and joy, and that we love one another. We want to tell each other that how much that we care for them and we appreciate them. Now, when my parents were still around, because family reunion usually gather around the head of the household, so we are like one of the participants, and we would try to find out what they want and where to have it, and try to make them happy. And now I, as time goes by, I think I'm being gradually promoted to the head of the household position. So Jennifer usually would be the one, the center of this house reunion, and her siblings and children and grandchildren, we gather together. And usually it's a lot of fun. I don't know. I don't see too much excitement from some of you. But it should be a lot of fun time that we get together, we catch up with things going on, we try different kind of food, and the younger generation, they can also play games together. However, I also observe, because I've been to so many family reunion, my own family, my extended family, and sometimes when friends invited me to their family reunion, I also observe something, that not all family reunion, the gathering, is the same. Some of them are joy-filled, and people, you can see that they're having a good time. And some of them, they can see that you wonder why they're there. Have you been one of those? That people sitting in the corner, they don't talk to each other. And some people are late, supposed to meet. Let's say the gathering is supposed to be at 2 o'clock, and they don't show up until like, you don't see them until like 5, and dinner's ready, and then you got a phone call, and they say, well, we are on the way. And then they had to decide whether they should just keep them food for them, or they should wait for them. And then sometimes, when you have this gathering, you actually see people arguing with one another. Right? Why you prepare that kind of that dish? The pot roast is burned. So they start to criticizing one another. And so it's kind of like counterproductive, especially I've been in one gathering that supposedly you honor the head of the household, but then most of the people, they're running around, they're yelling and screaming at each other, they're having fun, but then you can see they, supposedly, the center of the gathering, the head of the household, is being left in the corner by herself and himself, and nobody even bothered to talk to this person. And I was kind of like, oh boy. And this is their house. Right? So kind of wondering, what are we doing here? So family union gathering is supposed to be joyous, supposed to be a lot of fun, a lot of love, a lot of care, but not all to turn up the same. But then I'm kind of thinking of the worship that we do every week. We come to God's house. It's supposed to be a house of worship. We come here to worship, and God, He's supposed to find pleasures in our worship. He's delighted in our worship. We are called to worship Him. He wants us to worship Him. And I assume that we all want to worship Him. That's why we are here every Sunday. I just heard that Sister Stephanie, the student, gets frustrated. She doesn't get to come on Sunday to worship. And worship is very important to us too, as children of God. But that's how we draw very close to Him. And that's how we get our spiritual needs met. And it's supposed to give us joy and renew our strength. In the meantime, when we enter God's presence, as we talked about last time, in Him, through His presence, we can get to know His will and purpose for us in our life. And it's very important for us to have a sense of purpose in our life. What do we do? Why are we here every day? But then not all worship would turn out have that same result. Not all worships are pleasing to God, and all worships are beneficial to the people who attended the worship. Psalm 95 gives you two types of people will come up from the worship. The two types of people, two types of worshipers. One type of worshipers will be blessed by God just like people of his pasture and sheep in his hand. What does that mean? That means you come in here, you come to God's house, and you get to encounter him, and you're going to get fed. So when you leave, you feel your fullness of grace. Your strength get renewed. Your heavy heart get lifted up, and you have joy. But they're not a type of worshippers that God said, therefore I swore to my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. What does that mean? That means another group of worshippers, when they leave here, they never encounter God's presence because God rejected you. He refused you. You did not get to see him. And you come in here, your heart is, if it's not as heavy as you came in here, you're probably heavier than before. The worship will get you tiresome. You feel burdensome. When you think about worship, you're like, oh, how am I going to endure the time? And in the Bible, it talks a lot about how improper worship, how we handle in a way that will result in God's wrath. Now in John 4:23, Jesus said, God is looking for true worshipers. Those who worship him according to spirit and truth. Those are called true worship. That means they are true worshipers. If you have true worshipers, that means you have false worshipers. They are true worshipers and they are false worshipers. So how do you differentiate between the two groups? The true worshipers offer true worship. The false worshipers offer false worship. Make sense? It's very simple. So what is a false worship then? Does that have anything to do with the setting, the room, the music? We just have a couple glitches with the song. So what's that? Is that something that's not pleasing to God? Now, the Bible gives us plenty of examples of what false worships are. The kind of worship that God hates. And trust me, when God hates our worship, there are consequences. So for example, I think that by looking at this picture, those of you who grew up in the church, you know what it is about. In the book of Exodus, talking about the Israelites, they want to worship. They really, really want to worship. They miss God. They were in the wilderness by themselves. So they said, we need God. So they have a strong desire for God, and they want to worship. Moses, for some reason, was in a retreat, having a personal appointment with God and did not come back in time. So nobody let them to worship. So they pushed his brother Aaron and say, help us and lead us to worship. And what did Aaron do? Aaron collected all the gold from them. Very expensive, precious material they put together, and they put a golden calf, and they start to worship. Now, they were very, very passionate in their worship. They were having a very good time. People were happy. And except for two people. When Moses came back, Moses was very angry. God was very, very angry. And God, instead of finding delight in their worship, God said, I want to destroy all these people. And Moses had to pray very, very hard to save these people from destruction from God. So what can we learn from this lesson? It's very important. False worship is when we worship the wrong God. So feeling good, when you come in here, you get to meet each other, you sing praises, you walk out, you feel good, you put your check and the offering back, you're willing to sacrifice, they do not guarantee a true worship at all. If you're worshiping, if your heart, you don't have God, you don't have the right God in your heart, that's called idolatry. God hated it. And God is going to do things to help you to wake up, to pay attention to him. And then the second scenario is Isaiah chapter 29. Then the God said, I hate these people worshiping me too, because this worship, these people were doing everything right. They did everything following God's instruction down to the T. But then God said, look, I knew that they're doing everything according to the instruction, except for one thing. Their heart is not here. They don't want to come to worship. For whatever, they are compelled to come because they are afraid that I might punish them. But their person is here, they do everything as instructed, but their heart is elsewhere. God wants our heart. Because when you are here, your heart is not with God, we are actually mocking Him. So what did God say? God said to these people, all these people that show up, did everything down the way to the T. But they don't humble before me. They don't want to come. They are still thinking about their business plan. They're still thinking about where to decorate the house and how to host the party because they think that they're so good. And they come here so they can I can continue to give them the blessings, but they don't give credit to me. He said, I will destroy Jerusalem. I will destroy your stronghold. Whatever you feel, because the Israel, the Jews, they hold the Jerusalem, the holy city, and the temple, they look at it as prideful. They are special. And God said, whatever you're holding on, you think that is special, that make you prideful, I'm going to destroy it. So that you have nothing to be prideful about. God's going to put disappointments in your life to wake you up because of your prideful, careless worship. So those of us, if you come in here every Sunday, but then you don't think that God's answering your prayers, and things that start going downhill instead of going to the right track, things that you are so proud of, it could be your look, could be your social networking, could be your business, could be your education, academic achievement. The things that you're so proud of, they're taking away your mind from God, and sometimes could be our children. I remember the Pastor Sue was warning us at one time. He said, we love our children, but you put your children ahead of God, you're going to cause God to be jealous and do something to get back your attention to Him. That's exactly what happened in that time. God said, this thing is making you prideful. These things is drawing your attention away from me. I'm going to break it down. You have nothing to boast so that you'll wake up. You'll come back and ask me for blessings and grace because you're so full of yourself. Another third type of false worship is in the book of Amos chapter 5. These people, again, they pay attention to the worship, and they did a very elaborate worship. They want everything to be good. They want everything to be the best. So when they come to the worship, they have the best worship proceeding, everything they think is the best. But then God said, I hate this worship. Because you said everything is best, but why after you walk out from this worship hall on a Sunday, when you go back to the world, you never listen to my teaching? Not one thing that you do will reflect my teaching. God felt insulted because just because you come in here, you entertain yourself, and you think that you put in the most lavish ceremony, and then I'll turn my eyes to you. Who do you think that I am? You think that I'm a corrupted judge? You're going to come here to corrupt me so that I can continue to bless you so that you can continue to live a sinful and wicked life? God said for these people, they're going to destroy their home and send them in exile. That's even worse. So, I think we learn a very dear lesson here is that we can call ourselves worshiping God. But God is the one who decided we are truly worshiping Him. Now, I know this is a hard message. Not all of you are going to receive this message. But as the pastor, I have to preach this message because I think some of you would have no attention. You're going to tune me out right now because if your heart is not worshiping, you don't want to worship, you don't know God, I cannot make you. Well, I'm just telling you that with my love, I'm just telling you, God cannot be mocked. Because God's going to find a way to take you through brokenness. Break you down in pieces to the point that you can see that I really need God. Of course, there's some people, just like the worship chair, just in his prayer, some people are so stiff-necked. I have seen people that brokenness actually caused them to drift farther away from God. And some people in the deathbed, they still refuse to confess their sin. There's certain people like that. But for those of us that we don't want to go that route, you you sincerely, that you really want looking for God's blessings, trust me, worship is the most important ministry in the whole church. We have worship, Sunday school, fellowship, and everything. I'm telling you, nothing is more important than worship. Nothing is more important than worship. This is called house of worship. And God called us to worship Him. God did not call us for us to feel good. This is something that you have to be very careful. Sometimes we are very so self-centered. We kind of like, God, you got to make me happy, and then I'll treat you well. That's not a God. God, He said, I'm sovereign. God doesn't need any one of us. He's calling us to glorify Him. And how do we glorify Him? We worship Him. So worship is the most important ministry at the church. That's why some church you go to, they don't have any other ministry. They only have worship. In my old office, when you go out, it's a huge, elaborate building. They call it House of Worship. That's it. I bump into there. Immediately, some people greet me. They say, can I help you? I say, I just want to check it out and see what it is. Well, how come you don't call yourself a church? Because, well, it was a house of worship. They don't have Sunday school. They don't have fellowship. They don't have children's program. They have worship on Sunday. They have two worships. They have a weekday worship. They have a Sunday worship. Now, and one thing that's very important is God takes worship very seriously. So we should take worship seriously too. So how do we worship Him? Then it's called true worship. Now, Jesus said, the time, the hour is coming, the true worshipers should worship Father in spirit and truth. That means we should know who we are worshiping and how we are worshiping. First of all, to worship Him according to the truth, our worship must be God-centered. We have to know who we are worshiping. We're not worshiping people. There are too many churches right now, we are called seekers-friendly. We care too much about if people love and enjoy the worship. That is wrong. The worship should look to please God first. It's God-centered. First of all, I wish I'd be worshiping Him. Do we have Him in our mind when we come in this room here? Yes, we all have our life challenges and things that we have to take care of. But do we have God first and foremost in our mind? Or do we have this golden calf in our mind? The church project could be our golden calf. If we keep thinking about what a beautiful building that we're building here, how much money will we spend, how elaborate, that will become, if we think about the building project more than God, that will become our golden calf. If we think about our furniture shopping, we are thinking about something else other than God, then those things could be our golden calf. There's so many easy that we can look at the wrong thing and we think that we are worshiping. Some people even worship music. We have the best music. The music becomes your golden calf. We have to be very, very careful because God cannot be mocked. The first thing before we enter this room to worship, we have to ask God to help us. Search my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any golden calf here that's competing for my passion and my compassion. And check the golden calf outside of the room. And secondly, the worship must be in spirit and truth. That means everything we do have to be a reflection of God's honor, His holiness, His righteousness, and we have to show Him respect and fear. And that's something that's been missing in today's age, that we are living in an age of grace. God is slow to anger, and He's slow to punish. So we are living in this age of grace that we constantly offending God that we don't even realize. In the Old Testament, God gave very elaborate and detailed instructions to the Israelites how to worship Him. Do you know why? Have you wondered why He gave so painfully detailed rituals and for the people to follow. If you've been in Israel, you saw how they used to worship. It's very difficult, very hard. Why would God do something like that to, I wouldn't use the word torture, but it's so hard to worship. Why don't he make it easier, more convenient? We can worship it anytime we want. Because he wants us to realize that he's holy. He's righteous. He's deserving all our attention and effort. And everything we do has to be a reflection of that. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus' account came. His incarnation and his sacrifice on the cross have changed everything. Has upgraded our worship. But one thing we have to remember. God hasn't changed. Jesus changed our worship in the sense that we don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't go out to the temple to worship. Because back then, on John chapter 4, the reason they have that dispute was when they're entering the promised land, both God gave them a very clear direction that you have to worship me on this holy mountain. When Solomon built a temple, God promised him and said, this is the place that you're going to worship me. So that's why for the Jews, the adults, they have to go to the Jerusalem. They have to go to the temple to worship at least certain times of the year. Because even the place was very important back then. Jesus changed it, revolutionized the worship in a sense that we can worship anytime we want, anywhere we want to. Remember that in the Ramada Inn, we worship at a bar. All right? Pastor Steve was not happy about it, but I keep reasoning him and say, we are worshiping spirit and truth. Those Budweiser commercial is not bothering us. We don't get thirsty because of that. But if we do, then that's not a good place. So Jesus, because of Jesus, we can worship at a bar. If you could. Not everybody can. However, how we worship has not changed. God hasn't changed. God is still holy. So why can't we approach him as a holy God? And God is still righteous. And God is still awesome. He wants us to fear him. A lot of stuff we don't know how to fear. People today, they don't know how to write fear. Children don't fear their parents anymore. People don't fear their government. We have no fear to authorities. Let me tell you, God wants us to fear him. So everything that we do should reflect on Psalm 95, verse 6. It says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the God, our maker. What does that mean? It says, first and foremost, our gesture, everything, we have to show respect to God. And how do we show respect? We cannot just come in and tell God, God, I love you. God, I fear you. God, you are awesome. That's called lip service worship. That's what the Israelites did in the book of Isaiah. In their heart, they didn't care about God. So worship, in a sense, is culturally related. So your culture and everything would shape how you worship. But the end result doesn't change. Is that how you dress? What to wear to reflect your honor? Do you fear God? Now, in the Old West, people, every single time when they walk in the church, even today, a lot of churches they do, the men always take off their hat. Do you know why? Because they're basically saying that I don't want to compete the glory of God. All the glory be to God. And then still, some cultures today, people wear the best, whatever the best they mean, the most expensive, the most elaborate dress to the church. You can criticize them all they want, but their heart is that I want to bring the best, my best to God. So some people, you spend a long time pick out the dress for your palm or even junior palm. But some people, they don't even care for the dress when on Sunday to see God. But that's mind-boggling. And yes, you come here, oh, God doesn't care what I dress, but he look at my heart. Yes, but what you're wearing is reflecting what is in your heart, no? I still remember that I was in one business outing, and I'm a very casual guy, I'm telling you. Jennifer can tell you that. Okay, if we have any disagreement, that's a major disagreement. She want a tie? I said, no, I'm not a dog. And she want me to wear a suit? I said, look, I like dungaree. But when I when I see a very when I have an important business meeting, I put a tie on, a jacket. One time, a VP from a Fortune 500 company, we are having lunch. He told me, he said, "Look, Donald, I respect you for respecting me." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, today too many people came in here just with polo shirt, and we despise that because we're talking about a very elaborate, serious business deal. If you come in here dressed so casually, that means you're taking me casually. And we don't tell you, but everything is important to us." Our posture is very important, right? Our posture. In the military, they salute. And when we come before God, that's why he said we should bow down and kneel. A lot of churches, I think a lot of old traditions are very good. They have this kneeling, what do you call it, the veil. You kneel before it. Because by kneeling down, it helps to humble you. I'm telling you, how many of you still go and kneel before your parents? Right. So that's why for the tea ceremony, in the tea ceremony, I have no problem that you kneel before your parents. They deserve your kneeling. You can, "Oh, can I kneel before them?" Why not? Because you're so prideful. My human right. What right? Who gave you the life? All right. We are so self-centered. We are not God-centered at all. So the posture is important. That's why the Bible says, "Bow down and kneel down." And you have to. That's why we ask you to please rise when you read God's word, because we don't want to slouch in the seat and kind of like mumble it now. That's not respect. When you go for a job interview, Would you just lounge in the couch and talk to the guy, the person who can control your future like that? You don't. You sit up, you button up, and you have to pretend that you're really, really paying attention. So your posture is important. Look around and you can see what I'm talking about. Okay, from here looking down, I know who is taking it seriously. All right? And God knows everything. And be punctual too. Come on time, or early. You talk about this all the time. Guys, boys, girls, when you go for your college interview, some college to interview you, when you're ready to see the board for your licensure, for your job interview, I dare you that you'll be late for 5 minutes. I dare you. And you still get a job. Most of you will rehearse it. You talk to your partner and say, how do I look? How do I look? What should I prepare? You do study. You rehearse, like Aunt Stephanie just always said. She says you rehearse how she's going to conduct her new position. You do that because you take it seriously. And most of the people would come there, like for me, when I was running my company, I'm the boss to most of the people, but when I go for a, I'll try to be on time to respect other people. You don't want to waste people's time. When you are late, you're wasting other people's time. When I have business meeting, you always get there 5 minutes early, 10 minutes early. Get yourself prepared. Allow yourself some room for delay, and not just rush into here. Those of you, if you once in a while you are late, you're late. I mean, I'm not talking about. If you're chronically late to worship, and you tell me that you fear God, you honor God, then I sincerely would question how you honor people. You know what I mean? So that's something for you to think about. And then, of course, when you get here, then worship should always remind us that put away the electronic device. We are not anti-technology, by the way. The reason for that is because those of you still have your cell phone on, you know what's going on. You're going to get some unwanted, unnecessary ping. A news alert, somebody texting you, an email comes in, and some of you may be even playing video game. All right? Now, if you could, you might want to use a real old-fashioned Bible. Like, I don't carry my phone to worship anymore. So just rid of any potential temptation. Yes, my Bible is here. Yet yeah, you have something else there too. And when you try to open your Bible, you might see something else that would distract you. And honestly, I don't know about you. For me, maybe I'm old-fashioned. When Dr. Janning was sharing, But at my home, my children already know that I absolutely don't want them to have the cell phone turned on during dinner. Because family dinner, we want the family to engage together. I don't know how many of you can enjoy the dinner with somebody asks you for a dinner date, and they keep checking the messages and checking the football score, and you're eating, and he's eating, and they say, oh, check it out, and here, and then they go, and then they will text and talk to the person for another 5-10 minutes, and they come back to you. You don't feel like being valued. The same thing with God. God is here. He's here right now. And He wants all our attention. He doesn't want you to think about what to eat later on. You're not the one, but you may be on the receiving end. Somebody might be testing already. Pastor Don is getting very, very boring right now. And then, poop, and go ping on your phone. You know, should I answer or not? Right? And somebody would probably say, like, do you agree with what he's saying right now? So you are getting into your unnecessary distraction because you have to politely, you feel like answering your friend, because unfortunately we tend to value our friendship more than our fellowship with God. So inadvertently, you will draw your attention away from God. So we have to be very careful. My suggestion is, anything that can distract us, check it, put it away before you come in. It could be including your worries too. Right? That's why quiet time is so important. I have a bad exam coming up. I have a bad result. I can't pay my bill. I just had a fire in my house. All things could be going wrong in your life. Before, when you come in, try to check it at the door, at the cross, and give it to God and say, you take it. You hold on to it. And then you come in here and try to give God your 100%. So, to kneel down and to bow down, the best thing to describe would be to deny yourself. That's why, don't look for what your needs are. You should think about how to please God. How to come before Him that He kind of realize that, okay, your mind is on me. Don't think about your need, your pleasure for now. And that's why I'm just doing it. For example, have you noticed that except for a very special situation, even though I have a sore throat, I don't bring a bottle of water up here. Because it's not about me. I try to deliver the message. If I cannot speak, of course, I have to drink a sip of water. Because once I start drinking, then you will start to bring in your bottle of water. When you start to bring your bottle of water, the next person next to you next time will be Dunkin' Donut or Starbucks. So with the coffee, without a donut, it's not complete, right? So you can have coffee and donut. So coffee and donut is too simple. So then very soon you have snack, and then it will feel more like a stadium. We're going to a sports game or going to a show. So that's something that we have to be very, very mindful. Again, you know, I'm not talking, so I'm just kind of like enjoy overall and to remind us to be more mindful. And then when you come here, we need to participate. Worship is a participation. We don't come here to spectate. You don't come here just watch people worship, unless you are a non-believer. Okay, I understand, because I was a non-believer before. And I appreciate worship because I watch how people worship and I admire them. I could not worship because I didn't know God. For me to worship, I'll be worshiped to the unknown God. So it was hard for me to worship, but still I was here. I try to show respect and I watch how other people worship and say, amazing. This God's amazing that people would actually so dedicated to worshiping Him. So when you come in here, we're supposed to participate. That's why he said, we have to sing. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's make some joyful noise to the rock of salvation. So when we sing praises, I know some of the praises may not be your key or the word, you don't know the song yet, then try to sing. Again, taking the family gathering example, have you been a gathering that you have some people sitting in the corner, they don't do anything? And you wonder why they're here. They're waiting for the dinner. And they'll eat and they'll leave. So they're not really part of the gathering. So when you come into the worship, try to sing, because that's one way that you can truly, truly involve. That's why the praise is very important. Right now we're singing 4 songs, right? I don't mind you sing 5, 6, right? That'll be good. The worship team like, ooh. Because that's the time that you're really telling God that how much you are, how awesome you are. I love you. I care for you. And God enjoy it. Trust me. But you're sitting there kind of like, you look very cool. But God doesn't think you're cool. God will say, what's wrong with you? I don't deserve your praise. Right? A guy would say, yeah. But anyway, you get the point. So try to sing, but just don't sing. Try to be joyful. Right? So we have joyful, because sound, make some, I don't know what is joyful noise, but that means you have to come from your heart. It's not like just you whistle and like you go to a football game. But those are joyful noise too, but your singing should be full of joy. That's what he's saying. And then when you listen to his message, listen to him carefully. And because God, we are people with his pasture, sheep with his hand, he's feeding us too. Worship is interactive. Most of the time you think the worship come and just sit for an hour and a half and not worship. It's interactive. The first half, we talk to God. We tell him how much we appreciate him. The second half is he's going to talk to us through the scripture. That's why the sermon always is based on scripture. This is not a seminar. It's always based on scripture, and we try to present you God's word. When God speaks to us during the worship, I know I've been in your situation before. I would probably like, oh, tell me some jokes and something that get me interested. Instead of that, our motive should be like, what does God want me to learn today? What is he speaking to you, to me at this moment? God speaks to us differently. The same message, the same sermon, the same Bible verse would resonate differently in every single of your heart. You know why? Because that's the Holy Spirit's work. So you just pay attention and listen to the Holy Spirit, you're going to benefit a lot from the worship. That's how you get fed. So those of you who've been walking in and out, you don't pay attention. So yeah, you can tell that I sing, I participate certain part, but you did not get the true benefit. Now worship in the Spirit, of course, we all know what that means. That means don't just do things, mean it. Do it wholeheartedly. Like Moses said, love and serve your Lord God with all your heart and all your soul. We have to mean everything we do from the bottom of heart, not because the worship chair say, let's rise, and you rise, and you feel like, oh, I'm very tired, I don't want to get up. And then when he said, you may be seated, like, oh, you're slouching your seat. Hopefully, the worship chair is basically helping everybody do the things together. Your heart is really like, I'm reading God's word, I really want to show him respect. I want to read it seriously. Wholeheartedly. When you sing praises, to praise him, they're not performing. They want you to pray all along. That's why I really want the whole congregation singing. I don't want one or two people just here sing. We should all sing. And you sing from the bottom of heart. As you mean it, you know the lyrics. Now, to worship God in spirit and truth is very challenging because Jesus also said God is spirit. We cannot see him. So how can we truly worship him wholeheartedly? It's easy to tell somebody you're so beautiful when you can see it. That's why you have to prepare your heart when you come. Let me tell you how the Jews, they're still doing it today. The real Jew, there's no fake Jew out there. They can tell you they're not real Jew. I learned it from them in Israel, so I'm not making it up. The real Jews, or the Orthodox, they prepare the night before the Sabbath. This is what they do. Their Sabbath is on Saturday. So on Friday, they eat very light during the day. They eat light. They cut down on their food consumption. And then they try to take care of all the shopping and all the cooking so that they don't have to worry about it when the evening comes. They want to focus everything on God. They would even clean up the room. And then they would start to put some money in a charity box to do something good, to reflect God's teaching. So they do all this. And then they start to meditate on God's word, and even when the evening comes, that's why they don't go. They should not leave home after sunset. So how can we learn from them, brothers and sisters? I know it's hard, but let's give it a try, okay? Let's give it a try. Cut down your activities on Saturday. I know that Saturday is very busy for everybody, including myself, but try to cut it down. Cut it down to the bare bone. To wind down your activities. I know that right now all parties and everything is on Saturday, but try to cut it down so that you don't overly drain. You don't get overly drained. And get home early. I try to be home as early as possible on Saturday. Unless we have like special event meetings. And those of you who invite me to banquet, you know that on Saturday, a lot of time I didn't even get to the entree. I would leave. Because I don't want to stay up too late. I want to be home before like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And that's my own discipline. You can do your own rhythm. We all have different rhythm. If you tell me to pass it down, all I need is 2 hours sleep, fine. Then you can stay up a little bit later. But most of us, I think we need a good 6 to 7 hours. Then after you cut down the activities, and pick up what to wear and dress for the next morning, especially if you're a fuzzy person. For me, the most challenging is to pick up a tie in the morning. I'll be standing there like, I wish I only had one tie. Then I have no choice. Right? I don't know about Wing. I don't know if you have any problem. You look all so preppy all the time. But for me, I look at the closet, like, which tie to wear? None of them look match. And now it's better. Before, I have two women in my house that both I respect a lot. So I have to pass two inspection points. So when I walk out from the bathroom, Jennifer look at me and frown. I know, like, what's wrong? And I have to spend another 5-10 minutes. Right? After I got through that checkpoint, I got downstairs. Priscilla say, "Dad, it doesn't match." And I had to go back up. Did I tell you one time that I actually tried to sneak out? Right now, actually, a lot of time, I come in here, those of you know me, you see that a lot of time I'm wearing my tie, I tie my tie at church right now. You know, I found a trick. I grab a tie stick in the pocket, so nobody gets to see my tie. And I come here and I put it on, by then they find out it's too late. So anyway, if you're a fuzzy person, pick out what to wear, because I know how time-consuming that it could be. And get your offering check ready the night before. God wants a cheerful giver. God doesn't need your money. But you're going to scramble. God said, forget it. You keep it. I'm like, good. Well, then it depends on how much you value God. Now, instead of your difference before you come. On Saturday, you have any dispute, married couples. Married couple now and then you might, or with children, with parents, try to settle your difference so that when you come in here with a clean slate. And then, of course, if you could read some devotional writing in the evening and prepare your heart, would be good. And then come in here, prepare your heart early, quiet down. When worship chair asks you for a quiet moment, he's not asking you to take that moment to turn off your phone, because you've supposedly already done that. That quiet moment is for you to quiet down before God and then start to think about His character, what He's done for you. We have called to worship. That's why a lot of church, the older church, the first song is always holy, holy, holy. Because they focus on God's character. Worship is focusing on God's character, and God is holy. With His holiness, it will reflect how the undeserving we are. Then you start to appreciate His presence in your life. And we'll complain less. As long as we have a thankful heart, that's why the Bible said we have to come into His presence with thanksgiving. Think about what He has done for you, for everybody. A thankful, a grateful person is a good worshiper. Do you agree with me? You cannot really worship God if you are not thankful. You can't. You're a thankful person with a grateful heart, you naturally will lead you into worship. You can't help but praise God and thank Him. And that's natural worship. So to worship Him in spirit and truth, one thing is very important. To worship Him wholeheartedly, you have to build it up from your thankfulness, your gratitude. to sum it up, brothers and sisters, and worship is very, very important because God wants us to worship Him. He takes it seriously, so we should take it seriously. All right? And He wants us to worship Him according to Spirit and truth. That means we have to know about His character, we have to think about Him, and we have to prepare our heart for worship. We can't just jump in here and say, let's worship. We can't do that. If you are like me, I'm a human being. So let's all offer the worship to God that He will find delight and in turn who bless us even more. Now, one more thing I want to correct a lot of wrong theology today. We've been saying that we cannot do anything to make God love us more, which is true. True. But we can do something to make Him bless us less. Think about it. But God is love. Sometimes it's tough love. Love does not mean giving us everything we want. Let's come before Him and pray.